Well, at last, it's showtime. The curtain rises. The prospect has now answered the phone. Don't screw it up. I don't want to be negative here, but the first 10 seconds is the time during which most prospecting calls die. They implode before leaving the starting gate. The good news is that failure is preventable and almost always a direct result of what the sales rep says. To illustrate, here are two scenarios. Think about how you feel after hearing each one. Here's the first one. Okay, the remainder of this audio will be about heating and air conditioning. I'm going to discuss all aspects of how buildings are heated and cooled, and I have details of how heating and air conditioning units are wired and how ductwork is installed in buildings. All right, got that? Okay, here's the second scenario. Okay, the remainder of this audio is specifically about how you can get another week's worth of paid vacation this year. So, what were your reactions? After the first one, you're probably thinking, I don't need to know this, and I don't want to hear about it. It's boring and doesn't affect me. I'm going to extract myself from this situation. I'm going to quit listening here. Conversely, after hearing the second example, you might have been thinking, well, that got my attention. I wonder what it is. Tell me more. What's my point? In the first 10 seconds of phone calls, sales reps create the same emotions as those from my two scenarios here. Therefore, you want to minimize or eliminate the feelings from the first scenario and strive for those in that second statement. We will begin our discussion of how to be successful with openings by reviewing the words and phrases and questions that I suggest you avoid, those that have a greater chance of evoking resistance than interest. Now, I've compiled this list based on more than 28 years of business-to-business experience, again, studying, listening, practicing, and tinkering with what works and what doesn't. Indeed, I have taken my own beatings as a result of using many of these, so I'm well qualified to discuss them. Now, here are a few key points, though, about my don't say list. First, some people can employ even the most ridiculous techniques, including some of the ones I'm going to mention here, and still show some success. It's usually attributable to their delivery and personality, but most other people would fail miserably with them. Also, these suggestions are meant to minimize your chances for resistance. If something has a high probability for failure, why even risk it? Also, nothing works all of the time. I've had people tell me, I've taken your suggestions and they just don't work for me. Well, upon further examination, in most cases, they weren't doing exactly as I suggested, or they were delivering it poorly, which, of course, contributed to the not working. Again, here's my mantra. We want to maximize our chance for success while minimizing the chance of failure. That's why I present these phrases to avoid. Most people ashamedly admit, upon hearing many of these, they might say, well, you know, I say a bunch of those all the time. Hey, that's okay, and it's part of the learning process. Again, I'm with you, since I too have made every mistake in the book. The key is learning from our mistakes and seeking and finding a better way and then moving on. In our next section, we're going to look at specifically what to do in your openings. Right now, we're going to go through what you want to avoid. First, just anything. Yeah, I mean the word just. Saying just right at the beginning, as in I'm just calling. The word just sounds weak and diminishes everything that follows it. For example, yeah, I'm just calling to see if I could ask a few questions. Just get rid of just, all right? Next, I wanted to introduce myself and my company to you. Hey, this isn't a cocktail party or a networking mixer. Remember, your prospects care about whom? Themselves, that's right, not you. So this adds no significance and takes up valuable time right at the beginning of the call when we have a small window of opportunity. Next mistake, any mention of products or services without an accompanying results statement. For example, hi, Joe Smith here. I'm with Dunlap Services, a local messenger service, and I'd like to talk to you about your messenger needs. Well, in response to that, people could very easily say, well, we don't need that, or we're satisfied with who we're using. See, if you mention a product or service without a result, people can easily say, we don't want that. Products and services can incite resistance. Results, on the other hand, are much tougher to reply negatively to. Next mistake. Boy, you're sure a hard guy to reach. Yeah, there's probably a good reason for that. They're busy and important, and you've just wasted a few seconds of their precious time stating the obvious. You've also positioned yourself as a salesperson and given them time to formulate their I'm going to get rid of this guy strategy. Next, sounding salesy. This includes anything that reeks of old school, smarmy, stereotypical salespeople. For example, as you know, we are the top producer of. Whenever I hear as you know, I begin thinking of reasons why I wouldn't know. Here's another one. I'm sure you would agree. Hey, if you tell someone this, they probably won't agree. Well, here's an all-time favorite. If I could show you a way to get a top five position in the major search engines, you'd probably want that, wouldn't you? Oh, please. Promise me you will never say, if I could show you a way in an opening statement. That is so absurd. You're asking someone to make a commitment before they know any of the details. Here's another one. Are you the person there in charge of? As in, hi, I'm Pat Seller with ABC Company. Are you the person there who would handle the decisions regarding your supplies purchases? You might as well start off the call with, I'm selling something. Are you the person I should be selling it to? Now, wait a minute. Somebody hearing this might ask, okay, well, we are trying to sell something, aren't we? And we want to be sure that this is the person we should be talking to, right? Right. But that is not the way or the time to do it. And we do not want to seem like we're just trying to sell them something. Here's why. People would rather not talk to salespeople they don't know. It's natural. Like the way we avoid the salespeople in retail stores who stalk after us and ask, may I help you? Again, people like to buy, but they don't want to be sold. A statement like this therefore announces your sales intentions, triggering their defensive posture. Also, you have about 7 seconds to move a person into a positive, receptive frame of mind on a smart call. If you're not doing that, they're slipping into a negative mindset, moving into the how do I get rid of this salesperson mode. The question about are you the person solidifies that before you even have begun to create interest. And also, very importantly, you should also know before you ever hear their voice that they are the decision maker for what you sell. You should have done some research. You should have done some social engineering, as we talk about in the smart calling system, to learn something about the people that you're calling. All right, here's another mistake. Saying, can you help me? Now, saying, can you help me to a gatekeeper or an assistant is a good tactic. But with decision makers, however, it's a horrible technique. It creates resistance. It's not their job to help you. Think about it. How arrogant is that? Your job is to help them. You need to be able to quickly communicate how you might be able to do that before they've had a chance to move into the, again, get rid of salesperson mode. Unless you're calling for a charity, don't call to ask for the decision maker's help. Next, don't apologize for wanting to help them. Apologizing for taking someone's time at the beginning of a call diminishes your importance. For example, consider the caller who starts out with, I know you're busy and I'm sorry for interrupting and I'll take just a few seconds and here's why I'm calling. Stop. Think about what you're really offering. You have something of value that will help make this person's life better, right? And if you're not sold on your importance, then they certainly won't be. Hey, everyone is busy. If what you have is of value, you earn their time and they'll want to speak with you. Here's another mistake. Saying, thanks for taking my call. There are very few instances in life where saying thanks does not make a situation better, and I maintain that the opening statement is one of those few. You could argue with me if you want, but when a sales rep thanks me for taking his call, I hear, well, I feel like I'm not worthy of you, and I'm honored that a buyer would actually speak with me. it diminishes your importance in a buyer's mind, and it's another example of words taking up space and not adding value quickly. Okay, huge mistake here. Asking for a decision or even hinting at one. Let's put it in a different perspective. If a man approaches a woman he does not know in a bar and opens up with, "Would you like to get married?" he might get slapped or at least be viewed as a jerk. There's similar questions. I'd like to talk about beginning a relationship. I'm a real interesting guy and would like to set up a time for us to get together. Would 6 at Friday be good? Well, that's ridiculous, cheesy, and a little bit creepy, isn't it? Now, let's put it in a sales context. A sales rep opens up a call with, "I'd like to talk about becoming one of your vendors," or, "I'd like to talk about developing a relationship with your company," or, "We have some great products and would like to come out there and discuss them with you. Would 3 o'clock on Thursday be good?" Kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Granted, all of those requests could be the end result, but it's far too early to ask for a decision or even hint at one in the opening, or the voicemail message, again, for that matter. Now, here's an important point. When your call arrives, prospects are not in the preferred state of mind to hear a request for a decision or even the insinuation that you're going to ask for a decision of any type. We must first earn the right to someone's time by piquing curiosity and quickly communicating some possible value. And we must keep earning it throughout our calls and visits to make appropriate recommendations when the time is right and then secure commitments. There's another mistake. "I'm calling people in your area," or, "I was just going through my records." Oh boy, doesn't that make them feel special? Hey, they don't want to be treated as if they're just one of the names in the list you grabbed that day. People want to feel like they're the only person you're calling, not just one of the masses from a list of compiled names. Here's a similar one. "I'm updating my database." Okay, and why would they be inclined to help you do that? Here's another. "I'm calling to check in with you." I often jokingly refer to this as the probation officer approach. If you don't have something of value to offer, don't bother checking in. How about this one? "You and I have not spoken before." Well, again, that states the obvious. It's a waste of words right at the beginning of the call when you have precious few moments. As you can guess, this is a sales call. You gotta be kidding me. It's as if the rep is saying, "Okay, I know I don't have a shot, and you're probably going to resist, but here goes anyway." Here's another. "I just wanted to reach out to you." Well, on top of the "just" I mentioned earlier, what does reaching out mean or do for the listener? Any baseball fans? How about the baseball opening? "Just wanted to touch," that's right, "base with you." Here's another one. I call it the "I've got too much time on my hands" call. "Thought I'd give you a call to see how it's going." Or, "Calling to see if you received the email, letter, brochure, package, catalog, or price list that I sent." Is the literature going to do the selling for you? Or the email? If so, why are you needed? Granted, maybe if you do send something, you can warm up a call. But don't ask if they received it. It adds no value and, again, gives them time to move into a defensive frame of mind. Another mistake. I call it the show and tell. Such as, "I want to show you how we could help you," or, "I want to tell you how we may be able to." Prospects interpret this as, uh-oh, sales pitch on the way. Raise the defense shields. Showing and telling insinuates a one-way communication, not the message we want to send. All right, next mistake. "I'm Joe Smith with ABC Company. Are you familiar with us?" If they aren't familiar with you, you'll have to explain your company anyway, right? It's not to your advantage to do it after they have said, "No, I'm not familiar." Plus, you haven't given them a reason to answer your questions or to care about your company. If they answer that, yes, they are familiar with you, but they're not a customer, it leads to the beginning of a potentially uncomfortable situation, almost putting the person on the defensive. You do indeed want to find out what they know about you, but later. Do not make that the focus of your opening statement. After you've generated some interest and curiosity with your brilliant opener, you can then say, by the way, so I'm not being redundant with my questioning. Does our company name sound familiar to you at all? Here's one I just have to shake my head at. I'm not trying to sell you anything today. Do sales reps who use this line think that their prospects are idiots who believe that line? I feel that prospects look at sales reps who use that phrase as liars. Of course, our ultimate intent is to sell. We know it, and they know it. Furthermore, making a statement like this is a waste of time that could be better invested in moving the sales process forward while not alienating a prospect who sees through the deception. Now, for users and defenders of this technique, oh, save your emails. I don't want to see them. I've heard all the arguments for using this, such as, oh, it puts the other person at ease. It lets them know you're not going to give them a pitch, and it positions you as more of an information gatherer instead of a one-call closer salesperson. Whatever. We're going to accomplish the same thing with our interest-creating opening without wasting words. If you begin calls by saying you're not going to sell them anything, then that will usually be your end result. All right, here's the next one. Do you have a few moments to talk? Let me clarify this one. Since there are some exceptions, what I suggest you avoid is something like this. Prospect answers the phone, says, Stan Jablonski here. Then the sales rep says, hi, Stan. Andy Koval with Thurston Packaging. Do you have a minute? Let me ask you, if you were a decision maker who received a call like this, what would be going through your mind? You see, you don't recognize this person or company. You're up to your neck in your work, and you just happen to pick up the interrupting ringing phone, and you're asked if you have a minute. The typical reaction is, not really, or quick, what do you have? Not the frame of mind we want them in, right? This does not suggest, however, that you shouldn't respect their time. How you do so is a matter of your personal choice. However, this approach isn't it. What I do suggest you do, and I'll talk about this a little bit more in the actual opening statement process, but you want to put your request after your value statement, which would be, and if I've reached yet a good time, what I'd like to do is ask you a few questions. Okay, I've got more. How about this? Being assumptive in the opening and using declarative statements. Don't tell prospects what you will do in your opening. Don't tell them that you can save them money. Do not state that you will help them increase sales. Avoid saying that they will lower their costs and increase their profits. What? Am I stark raving? Lost my sales mind crazy? No. You want to avoid using definitive, declarative statements in the first few sentences of your calls. Why? Because even though you probably do believe and should believe that you could make them money, save them money, cut costs, and again, you probably could, what's important is that they might not believe that yet. All of those statements make the assumption that something is wrong with their business or company. Again, maybe something is, but let's turn the tables. Put yourself on the receiving end of this. If someone you don't know or respect gives you unsolicited advice and tells you that you're doing something wrong, what's your response? Naturally, you resent it and become defensive. The same is true on the phone with the prospect. They don't want to hear your assumptions about the problems in their organization. If you make those kind of bold statements early, before they've bought into the concept that you might indeed be able to deliver some value, you run the risk of creating resistance. For example, let's take this opening. Mr. Prospect, we're a credit card processing company and can save you money on your card processing fees. Okay, well, let's say the prospect has invested lots of time in studying the various alternatives for card processing. He tested a few different companies and maybe even presented a seminar on how to select the best processor at his industry's national conference. If he gets cold called and hears a sales rep make this definitive statement, here's what's probably going through his mind. Who is this bozo and how can he make that claim without knowing anything about me? I'm getting rid of him. Okay, so the prospect, of course, is not ready to hear such a bold statement yet and is likely to doubt its validity and might even be offended by it. Now, the dilemma here is that we do want them thinking about the possible value we will hint at, and we want them to feel that since there might be some truth to what we say, they want to hear more. That's why later I'm going to show you how to soften your claim in your opening statement. In this section on mistakes, things to avoid, I believe that it is appropriate to talk about something that, well, I've experienced quite a bit in my life, and that is how people react to unusual names. Dale Carnegie is credited with saying that the sweetest sound a person can hear is his or her own name. Well, that's true for the most part when used appropriately by the right person at the right time. Conversely, in some cases, a person's name can be a turnoff. I'm still floored by people's ignorance in regard to hearing a difficult-to-pronounce or unusual name on phone calls. In talking to sales or service people on calls where I was the customer, after spelling my name, I've heard such idiotic comments as, "Oh, that's a weird one," or "That's a strange name." And some people just burst out laughing. What do these people think? That I'm going to say, "Yeah, I know." I personally don't stay up nights fretting over this. Mine is an unusual name. It's pronounced Subcheck. I'm used to it. Hey, to top it off, my first name is Art. Think of how many times I heard Art fart while growing up, or "I bet Art is your favorite subject." Ha ha ha. People can be such morons. But the name issue is a very tender area for some people, and it says a lot about the person making the comment. I don't mind if, after saying or spelling my name, a fellow person of Polish descent makes a commiserating comment like, "Oh yeah, I've got you beat. My name is Wojciechowski." Otherwise, it's really out of place to make inappropriate comments. If someone with an unusual name takes the lead and pokes fun at it himself after spelling it, it's certainly okay to react in some way. I make a point to spell my name S-O-B-C-Z-A-K. Then I say, "You know, I used to start out with S-O-B, but too many people commented on how descriptive that was." Well, that breaks the ice and elicits some laughter and some small talk. The safe rule? If they don't make any self-deprecating comment, say nothing. I once took a call from a guy who recited very slowly his name. His name was Buddy Bunny, and he pronounced it Bunny. Yeah, like a little rabbit. He didn't say that. I admit I had to bite my lip and paused, and you could almost feel him bracing for the wise guy response. And then I just simply responded, "And your address, buddy?" Here's a secret. People with unusual names know their name is different. You don't have to tell them. Some good-natured folks just blow off comments with humor, but others view their name as sensitively as they would if they had a third ear protruding from their head. You wouldn't comment on that, so why take a chance of offending someone? Here's some more tips here, some brief tips. Here's a website where you can enter names and hear an audio with the pronunciation. It's www.pronouncenames.com. You can also add pronunciations that you know to be correct and perhaps variations of others. Before reaching the prospect, ask someone at the prospect's company how to pronounce the name. And please do not say, "What is the correct pronunciation of Bill's name?" like you're looking for the incorrect way to say it. Also, ask others how the prospect prefers to be addressed. Robert, Bob, Mr. Smith. And don't rename them. Use their name the way it is written and the way they say it when they greet you. For example, one of my customers, David, said that people often call him Dave even after he answers the phone with, "This is David." All right, how about the "How are you today" phrase? A sales rep called me and said, "Hi, this is Jane Davis with Technology Associates. How are you doing today?" I said, "Jane, I am just doing fantastic." She jumped back in as the last syllable was leaving my lips. "I'm doing fine, thank you. The reason I'm calling is..." What? Did I miss something? I almost laughed out loud. Of course, I really didn't pay attention to anything else she said. From what I recall, it wasn't interesting anyway, not surprisingly. This topic certainly isn't one of a high-level sales process nature. However, I do find that it stimulates a lot of interest and discussion in seminars. Jim Damansky, who I had quoted earlier, first referred to it as the hate question. How are you today? That's H-A-Y-T. Here's my official stance on the issue of small talk at the beginning of the call. First, use it if you are comfortable. Informal surveys and training workshops consistently show that 30 to 50% of you are all for using it, 30% wouldn't use it unless forced to at gunpoint, and 40% will use it based on the situation. It really depends on your personality and preference. I've heard reps who could use it with the gruffest of prospects and turn them into melted butter. There are others who are so against its use that they could never get a positive response since it sounds forced when they try it. Personally, I use it when I get good mojo at the other end of the phone. If they sound like the type of person who will react favorably, yeah, let it fly. Also, use something different. Let's face it, how are you today is pretty much a throwaway question. Its main purpose is to break the ice and ease some tension. It's customary. If you were in a prospect's office, there would be the obligatory comments about the photos on the desk and the moose head on the wall, but the phone is a more formal communication medium. Therefore, it's not as easy to insert small talk. But that doesn't diminish the need for it or its possible positive effect, or the negative for that matter, like the previous example. So I suggest saying something different to avoid sounding like every other caller. For example, how's your Tuesday going so far? How's the day treating you? Hoping you're having a great day. Well, you sound like you're having a good day. Put feeling into it. You can easily spot the "how are you today" that is monotone and mechanical, and it does more harm than good. Your tone of voice makes the difference. Keep this in mind. People often place more meaning on your tone than on your words. Ask the question as if you mean it. Listen to the answer and react accordingly. Obviously, the rep in my example earlier wasn't listening to my response. She expected a certain answer, waited until I finished, well, almost, and then continued with what she was conditioned to say regardless of my response. An argument against using any type of "how are you today" question is that the person on the other end of the line might tell you how badly their day is going. Fine. Then react and ask them about it. Empathize. At least you're in a conversation now, and you're listening to them. Finally, use the "how are you today" question if you're comfortable doing so, but please keep these ideas in mind. All right, we covered a number of mistakes, things to avoid in your opening statement. Before we go into what to do, action step time again. So go to your workbook and answer the question, what will you commit to do as a result of this section?